Hello and welcome everybody and your feline overlords to episode number 17 of the Dice Guys for February 11th, 2012. Well, today on the Dice Guys, looks like we've got Universal spending a lot of money on board game movies and not actually making any more, really. We also got Kickstarter. Is it good? Is it bad? Is it indifferent? Do you care? Do you not care? We're going to go into that. Also, we've got our game pick of the week. And we have Brain Flakes that are so freaking crunchy in milk. They got so much fiber, you'll be crapping board games.
Wow.
No, oh, man. Are trying to kill me.
Okay, Jason, well, what happened to you last week?
Over the last 2 weeks?
I guess it's been 2 weeks. We had an extra that I put up last week or at the beginning of this week. Various.
Yeah, you know. What do you expect for free, folks? All right. Not a whole lot. Got myself a Kinect.
Mm-hmm.
So if this podcast feels rushed, it's because we're eager to go play it.
Yes.
So
I have not used a Kinect yet in all the years that it's been out.
Yeah. Well, this the other night was the first time for me. So, All right. It seems like it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. And other than that, just been working.
Yep. That's pretty much me too. I have also been working on taking a big major trip in this coming April. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the reason why I've been busy.
Yeah, and that means in April this podcast will be altered a little bit. We're not sure how yet. Whether I'll be running it solo, whether we'll be trying to do it through a hangout, whether, you know, I'll bring in a guest. Because I don't know.
I'll be in another country. So
yeah, so these delays of getting these things put up on the website may be a little bit more pronounced in April. Because Mike does all the sound work.
I do all the editing work, but maybe we can fix that. So
yep, we'll figure it out one way or another.
Hey, let's just get on with our brain flakes then.
We should.
Brain flakes!
Brain flakes! Well, let's revisit one that we did just a little while ago. Joshua Owen
from Google Plus and
working on his
tabletopforge.com, I think, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He is working on his virtual tabletop.
We discussed this before, but man, this guy is advancing quickly.
He is much more dedicated to things than we are. I feel bad for me.
Well, you know, we've had 45 years of practicing our ability to procrastinate. So.
Yeah. So hopefully he'll never learn from us.
Hopefully not. Very dedicated. I've seen some of his posts. He's working on this during his lunch hour.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I'm lucky to make it through lunch without taking a nap.
And we're not that old. What the heck?
Yeah, I know.
All right. Well, anyway, but he's gone pretty far with his virtual tabletop. He's got avatar masking in it now where you can put your avatar over your face in your video.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be your orc. And you can, he's added pen width and color to his drawing tool. He's got snap to grid for the maps syncing now from user to user. So when you snap to grid, it'll go and propagate to all the different people's maps where they're looking at things. He's got a combat tracker belt now. His dice roller is working. He's been working for a little while. He's really moving along with this thing.
Well, he said he's ready to go public in, what, about a week? A
couple weeks.
A week or two.
And he's going to go public with it. So he's going to take it out in kind of an open beta, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how far you can go with it. I've been reading comments from others. I haven't really looked at other people's virtual tabletops they're working on. But from the comments, Joshua seems to be the most furthest along.
Right.
But I do want to look at the other ones because there's probably some cool ideas that everybody can share and work on. So yeah, if you haven't checked it out yet, I'll have a link again to Joshua Owen's Google Plus page and his tabletopforge.com, I think it is. So you can check it out.
Yep, definitely should.
And it'll be excellent for your role play gaming online.
Absolutely.
And it'll push Google's agenda more.
And speaking of people who get what they want or are overachievers.
Yes.
We have a guy in Arizona. He was arrested for trespassing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're going to achieve something in trespassing, this is the way to do it.
Yeah. He was supposed to be released on his own recognizance the following Monday. Only when the sheriff's deputies came to take him out of jail, he refused to go. He didn't want to leave. So he got arrested for trespassing again.
Yeah, I think the word was, hell no, I won't go.
So anyway, we just wanted to make a quick note to this gentleman, Mr. Combate, I think he said his name was. Just wanted to make a quick note. Congratulations, dude, you got what you wanted.
Yeah, because he's in jail still.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And he was, I think, accused of trespassing in the
jail. He's now got two charges of trespassing and disorderly conduct. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, if you want to stay in jail, that's one way to do
that's
it.
That's the way to do
refuse
it.
Refuse to go.
So for all of you future jailbirds, which hopefully there aren't too many of you, take a note from Mr. Combate. You can stay in jail if you want.
Yeah. So I wonder if this works on Monopoly. If I just want to stay in jail, can I just stay there?
That's interesting. I think you'd have to have house rules.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Anyway, so time to move on. Now, we are overloaded with science flakes this week. So here we go.
Science!
All
right. Okay. Well, you want to start with, which one do you want to start with? The good one or the weird one?
Let's go with the good one first.
Okay, well, the good one is, this is actually one of my, okay, let me get my soapbox out here. Where's my soapbox? So, all right, that's a paper soapbox. And because one of my soapboxes is NASA.
Right.
Okay, I love NASA, and everybody wants to defund NASA, send everything private, blah, blah, blah. But they don't realize how much good stuff comes out of NASA research. They're not just shooting things into space and seeing if they survive or not. They're actually building things to make them survive.
Right.
And one of the things they just built are biocapsules made of nanotubes, carbon fiber nanotubes.
They can be slipped under your skin.
Yes, they can be slipped under your skin, and they can contain medicines and other things that dispense medicines when you need them. So you're basically looking at a Star Trek level device here.
They were talking about diabetics and how they can have cells in there that can actually detect a need for insulin, and then other cells that will release the chemical that creates insulin.
Yep, it can hold pancreatic cells and become basically a replacement for your pancreas, and monitor and create the insulin you need for your body. So diabetics wouldn't be driving down the road and
passing out. Yeah.
They wouldn't be, you know, passing out in the middle of the night, not being able to wake up because they're low on blood sugar. This is amazing stuff.
They would not need to be sticking themselves all the time to test their levels.
Yeah, this is amazing stuff.
The
reason it's been developed is because for long-term astronaut trips, they're not going to be able to carry all the medicines that they need or all the things they need. But with this,
or med techs,
you can have months worth of medicines and such in your body ready to go when it's needed. You could be out on a spacewalk, be blasted with radiation from a solar burst, and then this thing detects it and puts out the medicine you need to protect yourself from the radiation blast without you ever really knowing.
Yeah, so you're not involved in the process. So.
It's this right here is why we fund NASA. And this is the kind of stuff that spins off into private sector stuff that people don't realize. Private sector will not develop this unless they see money for it initially. This is something that they don't see money for now. So NASA's going to develop it.
10, 15 years down the road. Yeah.
So I'm going to step off my soapbox now with the final words. Fund NASA and stop trying to kill it off.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of things we need to fund, why don't we fund the feline feces freakout?
Yeah. It's okay. Hard to take this seriously, although there are plenty of researchers out there, apparently, who actually are taking this quite seriously.
Yes.
The unfortunate fact that this was generated, this research was started by a guy who looks like he came straight out of a conspiracy theorist newspaper.
Yeah. The article unfortunately starts off with the words something like he's not a kook, and then they show a picture of him, and he kind of looks like a kook.
Yeah,
but you know,
sorry, dude, but you do.
But it's fascinating research, and basically what it is he's claiming that there are parasites that can take over your mind and control you to do things. Now, we've kind of gone into this before on another podcast.
Yeah, we talked about the zombie bees being driven around by parasites.
By parasitic eggs, larva. And they're driven around until they die. So basically, what he's claiming is that there is a parasite.
Protozoan-level parasite.
Mm-hmm, that is spread around by cats.
Mm-hmm. When they poop.
Mm-hmm. And,
because poop is a funny word.
And this basically gets into your mind and affects your dopamine levels and everything, but they've actually done tests on rats that when they're infected with this, they are affected differently by the smell of cat urine, so they're actually
more attracted to the smell of cat urine, not other predators, specifically cats.
So specifically
they've tried
cats.
Other predators' urine. And they still avoid that.
Yeah. But they actually go towards the smell of cats, and therefore they get eaten.
And the theory on that is that these, well, not really theory, I guess they've actually done the research and found out that these parasites can only sexually reproduce inside cats.
Yeah.
Something about a cat makes it possible for them to reproduce. So apparently, the idea is to get these different organisms to spread them around to different cats.
Mm-hmm. And then spread further. Kind of like a plant putting a sticker on you. And then you carry it somewhere else.
Pollen on a bee and it carries it to other plants.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So there's something to this. Now I'm going to put a link to the article. The article's very long. There's a lot of information into it. He's not the only kook. There are other kooks.
Unfortunately, there are people who are very, very prominent in at least parasite research that are taking this incredibly seriously.
Yeah, and so
that makes it a little bit, you know.
Yeah. So he's been working on this for a while, and now it's come to light, and people are retesting and redo. What science does? They redo the experiments.
And he specifically says he understands that people will be resistant to the idea and think that he's crazy.
Yeah.
Because it sounds crazy.
It sounds crazy that a parasite could get into you and make you more risk-taking and such. But that's what the claim is, and it seems to be borne out by the research. Now, personally,
we do think that one part is a bit like wish fulfillment kind of thing, where he claims that men who are infected are more attractive to women who are infected. And I think that, you know, maybe he's just like looking for a date.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, I think that the real reason is that cats want to control us. I mean, honestly, who can really love a cat?
Every cat out there thinks I am God.
That's right. And apparently they are because they infect you and then they make you pet them.
Yeah, they make you like them.
When they want to be pet. Otherwise, they just walk around, you know.
Now, you understand your girlfriend's going to be very upset if she listens to this podcast.
Yes, but, you know, she has 5 cats and she's under control.
She's under control. The cats are telling me to hate you.
I will claim that. That's just the cat speaking, honey.
All right.
So, anyway, that's our brain flakes.
Yes, that was the brain flakes. And speaking of crazy things to do, Universal buys up the rights to make all these board game movies.
Yeah.
You've got, what, Stretch Armstrong, which isn't really a board game, but that was included in the article, so that's kind
of
interesting.
Yeah, we're
going to
count it because it's part of Hasbro. Yeah. Well, they've worked with Hasbro, bought the rights from Hasbro, worked
for
with Hasbro.
Ouija, Stretch Armstrong, Candyland, Battleship, as we all know, and several others. Mm-hmm. And they started production on some. The only one that looks like is going to be coming out from Universal is Battleship. Mm-hmm. In May.
Yeah.
Which doesn't look anything like the Battleship game. It's more like Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, looks interesting anyway.
It's like Transformer ships or Battle Trans. Mm-hmm. Wait, that sounds weird.
Big testosterone-filled, giant mm-hmm. robots blowing stuff up kind of movie, yeah, which is awesome with me. Yeah.
So,
But...
And it's got Liam Neeson spouting, you know, weird dialogue. Oh, wait, that was Star Wars.
So. Same thing here. But yeah, Universal sold the rights to Candyland to Sony,
mm-hmm.
who snagged Adam Sandler.
Yay!
Yeah.
You know, because he wants to redo his Saturday Night Live character. You know, give me some candy. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
It's supposed to be a family film. What kids are going to know that now?
Yeah.
Because, you know, us old fogies know it, but,
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I'm not one to talk. I'm not a big Sandler fan.
Yeah.
He's done a couple of things that I like, but he hasn't been the focus of the film.
Candyland going to be his breakout film?
No, of course not. I think his breakout film was probably, you know... Happy Gilmore or something.
Yeah,
but
I've seen Candyland. It's called Willy Wonka. Okay.
There you go.
They don't have to make a Candyland movie. And the other ones,
they remake everything.
Yeah,
so.
You know, I love board games, but really, I mean, I guess I don't know. I guess they're as good to hang a story on as a video game. So.
Yeah, and they spent lots of money doing that.
Yeah, but here, yeah, basically, at Universal spending a lot of money and then giving it up.
Yeah, I mean, they handed a lot of this off, and, well, I'm assuming that they didn't lose money on the deal.
Maybe.
Well, the ones that they started production on and then just canceled and haven't shifted off to mm-hmm. another studio, they're losing money on those. But I'm going to assume that Candyland, they probably sold for a pretty penny mm-hmm. to Sony.
I don't know why they couldn't just continue making them. I mean, is Uwe Boll, is he like a
oh, yeah, I mean, you know, He's made all kinds of video game movies, and everybody screams and yells and hates at him, but he continues to make them.
Yeah, so you could probably do a board game movie.
Yeah. I mean, you may catch a lot of negative flack, but you're still going to make money.
So you're going to go see Battleship when it comes out?
I'll probably wait for DVD.
Yeah, me too.
Honestly.
I might even wait for streaming, not even just pass a DVD too.
Depends on how bored I get.
Yeah. Ha ha, that's a... Pun, board,
board,
yeah. Hey, you know, why don't we use that note to go on to our board game pick of the week?
Yeah, let's do that because it was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeehaw, got snake ass.
Mike, you picked this one up, so why don't you run with this?
Okay, yeah, I actually picked it up because you wanted it, and then you decided you wanted something else, and I was going to buy this one for you, but when you decided something else, I bought it for me. If that follows or makes any sense, because I said that kind of bass works.
Whatever. The fact of the matter is the game rocks, and mm-hmm. it is.
Ankh-Morpork, the Discworld mm-hmm. game. It's actually called Discworld Ankh-Morpork.
But everybody knows it as Ankh-Morpork.
Yeah. It's created by Mayfair. Mayfair mm-hmm. publishes this in the United States.
They publish it.
Mm-hmm. And it is, of course, based on Terry Pratchett's Discworld book series. It's specifically set...
You say, of course, not everybody's read those. Everybody should have.
They should at least read the first two or three books and mix and match some of the other ones based on what titles you like.
Right.
If you read them all, you are very dedicated. I mean, they're funny and they're good, but...
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. So, picked up those books and also pick up the game because this is set in the town of Ankh-Morpork. Ankh-Morpork is a city in Discworld which is known for its greed, its graft, and its double dealing and its...
And magic.
And magic, of course.
The Unseen University.
Yes. So basically what the object of the game is to take control of sections of the city.
It's a zone control game with a lot of twists thrown in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You get a character card at the beginning of the game, which is hidden from the other people. So only you know who you are as you play the game.
And you have specific goals to be able to win the game, depending on who
That's
you are.
That's right. Yeah, you might be, for example, the town magistrate, and his goal is to get to the end of the game without there being any real problems so that he keeps the city safe.
Mm-hmm. So he can only have so many trouble spots.
Yes.
In the game. It could be, I think it's Commander Zim,
mm-hmm.
which is basically when you run out of cards and the game ends without anybody else winning, you win.
Mm-hmm.
How awesome is that?
Yep. And there's tons of these different characters with all sorts of kinds of things. And one of them wins when there's a particular amount of trouble icons mm-hmm. on the board. And
you can win by controlling a certain number of zones or controlling certain zones.
Mm-hmm. Which you control by taking over buildings.
Mm-hmm.
The buildings are interesting. It takes certain things, certain resources to be able to build a building once you have people in the zone.
Right.
And these buildings also give you special abilities
mm-hmm.
that are cool. Mm-hmm. I don't remember many of them.
Some of them are, like, one of the zones I know lets you pay so much money to remove a trouble spot from the board.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of them lets you discard so many cards to be able to stop someone from playing an interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of different kinds of powers involved.
Yeah. And, of course, the goal is to kind of balance how you're using the powers on the cards you're drawing, the power you're given with your character, as well
as spending your money.
Spending your money and putting your pawns and things on the board to give people the impression you aren't who you are, as well as trying to win the game at the same time.
Yeah, and that's hard. It's hard not to give up what you're actually going for.
Yeah.
While actually going for it. So, yeah, it's a nice balancing act there.
I also found that if you complain a lot, you win the game.
Yeah, I complained the whole time.
Yeah, I really didn't like this game as I was playing it, and because everything I tried to do seemed to go wrong.
He had the worst possible luck during the game, which ended up working out to be the best thing in the world for him, and he wins, which is a lot like the books. So the game plays really well.
So if you had asked me about halfway through the game if I was going to pick this as a game of the week, I would have said, hell no. Not for me. This is hell. I cannot get any areas.
He was very, very frustrated.
And, you know, they had kind of guessed who I was anyway, but they weren't really going against me. It's just my own luck. So, yeah, hell no. But, you know, at the end of the game, when I won, I was kind of like, I won. That's cool.
Yeah, it is kind of cool that just because you're bad with dice rolls or whatever, doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to lose.
Exactly. I mean, there's dice involved, but there's card play. There's the interplay on the zone control and the different rules and everything that kind of lets you get past bad luck
mm-hmm.
for the most thing. So yeah.
High quality game.
Yeah, very well made by Mayfair. Very good. Sturdy box. It should last through many openings and closings.
Mm-hmm. All the pieces are wooden. Or
wood resin, yeah. And the cards are very nicely made, sturdy. They didn't seem like they'd get too dirty too quick.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was a well-produced game. Mayfair did a really good job.
$49.95, I believe, right?
Yes.
I think it was. We'll make sure on that because obviously our research assistants are off again.
They were busy getting a Kinect.
Yes.
wanting to play.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Ankh-Morpork by Mayfair. We'll have a link to it on our site. Of course, if you have a friendly local game store that has it, pick it up there and support them. But if you don't, click on our link on our site and buy it because then you support us. Yay!
Yay!
But, you know, you don't have to support us. You can go, you know, buy it from Amazon or something. I don't care. Just play the game.
Play the game.
We
That's
love
the
it when you play
thing.
Games. Which brings us to our last feature of the day,
Yeah.
Kickstarter.
And all the negative BS that's going around about... Okay, I shouldn't call it BS. People are entitled to their opinions.
They're entitled to their opinion, and some of them have good points. Some of them have some pretty good points. I have to agree with some of the points. But there seems to be a growing amount of negativity about Kickstarter. And it seems to me that it's an outgrowth of when something's popular, it's time to bring it down.
Yeah, it's the hipster mentality. It's like, oh, I liked that before it was popular.
Well, yeah, blah, you know, blah, I mean, this thing's gone on for ages and ages. I mean, back in our day, because, you know, we're ancient.
We are ancient.
It was, oh, my God, that band I like has sold out because they've gone, you know, from my local dive to...
Oh, yeah, you remember when Metallica went from being this little-known band to doing their Black Album and everybody loved them?
Oh, yeah,
they're sellouts. All of a sudden, it was like, oh, they're sellouts.
I hate them.
Yeah,
get rid of them. So, anyway, but basically what's going on here is that a lot of people are dogging on Kickstarter because, well, it's popular. And the it's gotten so popular, in fact, that some big names are now using it to kickstart their projects.
And we've seen a lot of worries about that, about people saying, hey, you know, if these big companies are going to start using it, they're going to overshadow the little guys, and the little guys aren't going to get funding. Yeah. And that's not necessarily an invalid concern.
Not necessarily invalid, but what I have to say to that is that these big names that they're talking about are big names in the industry, but not necessarily out there in the world.
Right. Kickstarter funds all kinds of projects.
Video games.
Video games, games. Movies, board games, books.
Music.
Music. Books. Order of the Stick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Webcomic. He wants to reprint one of his earlier books, but that takes money. So he jumps onto Kickstarter. Now, he's not the most well-known webcomic out there.
No.
But, folks, he needed just under $58,000. He still has 10 days to go, and he has $609,000
which is already pledged. Which he's already said is going to allow him to do other books.
It's going to reprint other old books and possibly even go towards printing the new book.
Yes.
Now, that's awesome. People are supporting something they love. They're finding this on there. Even though he's not the most well-known webcomic artist, people found him.
Yeah.
And he is now the most funded webcomic to ever be on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely freaking amazing how quickly this happened.
And the other one that came up was Double Fine.
This was the big one that people were talking about. Now, there are some big names involved with Double Fine Studios.
Double Fine is run by the guy who, if you don't know him, he made a game called Day of the Tentacle.
His name's Tim Schafer.
And he made a game called Day of the Tentacle, which is a little click and point adventure game back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done other things since, but that's one of his biggest claim to fame for us anyway. And he runs this company. Now, somebody who was dogging on this, he's probably got about 30, 40 employees, and he says this is a big company. Now, first off, just because you have 30, 40 employees doesn't mean you're a big company.
No, Blizzard's a big company. They hire hundreds of people.
So anyway, but he was going on Kickstarter to fund his upcoming project, which is the Double Fine Happy Action Theater.
It's Double Fine Adventure.
Double Fine Adventure, which is a click and point adventure, and honestly, I want it. So
as well as he does on the point and click, I definitely want it too.
Yeah. So, but he went on Kickstarter. Now, is he well known in the industry? He is, but so is Order the Stick. Well
and
known to Order the Stick people.
This company has created some games that a lot of people will know about, like Psychonauts and Brutal Legend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't top-selling games, but they were pretty well up there.
But he has to do what everybody else has to do, and that's get funding. He has to go to a producer or a game company and get the money to make the game he wants to make. And if they don't want to make the game, it doesn't get made. So what can he do? Go to his fans.
Right.
Which is what he does through Kickstarter.
This is the most amazing thing about Kickstarter, guys. This is fan supported. This is crowdsourcing your project so that you get to make what you want to make, and the people who agree with you, hey, that sounds great, can help support you.
Yeah.
And you give them rewards in return, like people who pledge $15 get the game. $15. Now, if that was put out on a disc in even Walmart, you're talking $50. Yeah. Minimum, $50. Yeah. Mm-hmm. $15 you pledge to this project, you get the game.
Yep, $30 you get basically what you would get with a collector's set of another game.
Right, you get a high-definition documentary, behind-the-scenes stuff.
Game soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is just a way for people to get funding and give back to the fans that funded them. How big is this project? How much money has he made?
How much money did he make on Double Fine?
Oh, yeah. What he needed $400,000 for his goal, and he made?
A little over $1,400,000.
Yeah, and he's still got 32 days to go.
Yeah, so that happened really, really quickly, guys.
Yeah.
Really quickly.
And, of course, people are saying this overshadows other people. Well, I'm going to give you the point that Kickstarter's gotten big, and you could be overshadowed on it. Okay.
That is a valid concern.
And
that
I'm gonna,
some of the smaller guys could disappear.
Yeah. And I am going to give you the point that another person brought up, in that you could make your own website for $5 a month at a little place, mm-hmm. and probably spend less on that than giving Kickstarter its little kickback out of the money you make. Mm-hmm. But here's the difference. Mm-hmm. With Kickstarter, you're basically getting free publicity, a lot of publicity.
And you're also getting the engine. You're getting the ability for people to pledge money and you not have to track it.
You don't have to track it.
So that if you don't get funded, you don't have to worry about refunding money back.
That's correct. You don't have to rebuild things or piece things together from open source stuff in your $5 blog.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to, you know, now with the growth of Kickstarter, you're going to have to do more publicity, but
right.
you're getting a site that people know and people use. Now there's other sites like Kickstarter. Kickstarter is just the biggie. If you don't mm-hmm. want to support Kickstarter, you can go use one of the other ones. And one of the other ones might be even better for your project. Etsy, for example, Etsy has mostly crafts and such. I've
right.
seen game pieces and dice and stuff on Etsy. So if you make that kind of stuff, probably good to go on Etsy.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since you're already making it. So,
right.
And everything. But yeah.
But if you're wanting to crowdsource a project, some kind of artistic endeavor.
Kickstarter's a good one.
Kickstarter's a good way to go, and there are other ones. Indiegogo?
Yes.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. Is it the UK one?
I'm gonna put links to several of them on our website in the show notes so you can see. You know, if you have never been to Kickstarter, you can look up all kinds of things, mm-hmm. from board games, the movies, and everything that people are working on. Now, other big companies and big groups are on here. Sundance Films.
YouTube is on here. Yeah.
YouTube's on here. So there's a lot of big things. Now, is this infiltrating, like people say? Maybe. But
you
that's just the way the system's going to go.
Yeah. The fact is, people, things change. Okay, this started out, people started being able to fund their projects. Big companies are going to notice this, and they're going to try and, you know, fund themselves this way. This is what happens.
Yeah.
You know, people just have to accept that change is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And you work within the limitations or bonuses or whatever.
But I'll tell you right now, taking a chance with Kickstarter, even if you're getting overshadowed by the big guys, is probably going to be slightly more effective than starting your $5 website.
I'm going to give an example right now of a little guy who exceeded his expectations. Mm-hmm. He is on Google Plus, and he made a little game called Homicidal Transients.
Right.
And Homicidal Transients is basically just a short little RPG game put out on PDF. He really didn't expect to get much. He had a $300 goal.
Mm-hmm.
And he got $720 for that.
Right. That's not a lot of money, but that's over twice what he needed to produce this game.
More than expected. In fact, he's used some of that money to go on to put out supplements,
mm-hmm.
Crowdsource supplements, and do other supplements. And he said on his Google Plus page that from that and from his Google Plus page, he's sold even more of them on DriveThruRPG mm-hmm. than he probably would have before. So it works. Of course, he did some extra publicity through Google Plus and everything, but it's there and it works.
Right.
So that's just a small person making double what he expected. So it works, guys. And
yeah.
Don't dog on it.
Well, I mean, voice your concerns, because it's important that people need to know your concerns and stuff. But just flat out saying, oh, Kickstarter's evil or Kickstarter is a horrible idea. Well, no, it's not a horrible idea. It may not be the right fit for you.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, this is the only way they're going to get their project funded.
I really want to do some, we weren't able to find it. I really want to do some research on the percentage of actual projects that get funded.
Right.
Through Kickstarter.
Right.
And just to see the success, you know, because they have all their big successes.
Maybe we can contact somebody at Kickstarter and get some information.
Yeah. Because they have all their big successes highlighted, of course. Mm-hmm. But of course. I'd like to know more about their small successes and how it relates, you know, what their percentage is. I'm sure there's some information somewhere. We'll just do some more research when our assistant gets off of his Connect.
Right.
And speaking of Connect, I think it's time for me to try out that Connect too, because I've never played one.
It sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
We're gonna go play Connect, and
next week we may be telling you about this really awesome game for the Connect.
Yeah. So until next week.
Keep rolling those dice.
Keep rolling the dice. No, man.
Trying to kill me.